It is the first hump show of the new year. We dub it thus because it is the middle show of the work week. And it's something that I've done going back to, gosh, probably the first year of us starting the 5-night-a-week schedule. I can't believe that I'm now into year number 9. Want to hear something funny? Well, year number 9 of me doing this schedule. This is now year 11 as we jump into 2023. It's year 11 for CBS Sports Radio. But do you want to hear something funny? When I got this job, meaning this 5-night-a-week, Sunday through Thursday nights, or for those of you who are in Eastern and Central time zones, Monday through Friday mornings, I said to myself, 5 years. I'll go 5 years on the overnights. Yes, that is a fake laugh. But also there is some irony there. Now, I have had opportunities to change time zones. Time zones, haha. I have had, yes, that too. I have had opportunity to change time slots, and I've chosen not to. So every now and then I'll get these pity tweets or pity Facebook messages. Oh, I'm so sorry. Doing the overnight. Only truckers listen to you. And, oh, I wish you were in prime time. All right, I don't even bother to respond anymore because it's a waste of space. If I didn't want to do the overnights, I wouldn't still be doing them. That's the beauty of working in the United States of America and in having as much experience as I do in this business. There are other gigs out there. There are other jobs out there. For those of you who would desperately like to think this is the only job and the only show that I could possibly do. Anyway, I've chosen to stay here where I am. And I would say probably three, four times, but three legitimate opportunities where I could have changed time slots. But this has been the best for me. It's been the best for my life. It's been the best for commuting into New York City, which I do not love. It's been the best for my dog, and it's been the best for travel, and it's been the best for you, actually, as well. And so I've chosen to stay here, but yeah, kind of funny. And I laugh at myself when I think back. 5 years was what I was going to give these overnights, and then I was going to move on to something different. So here we are, marking 10 years as a network, and I've mentioned this before. I don't think this is something that is a huge surprise. A lot has changed since the network started and has now marked 10 years. One of those factors being that both of the original bosses of CBS Sports Radio, Mark Chernoff and Eric Spitz, who together were really the architects of launching this new network, they were the men responsible for hiring me. I'll never forget when Mark Chernoff called me and called me cold. I have no idea how he got my number. I never really asked him. But he called me and he said, "My name is Mark Chernoff. I'm calling from New York City. I have two questions for you. What is your status with your current network? And are you interested in coming to work for me?" I didn't know who he was at all. I mean, he's a legend in the business. I had no idea who he was. And so that was the call I got from Mark Chernoff in September of 2012. He invited me to come to the New York City headquarters for our future network and meet him and Eric Spitz in person. Now, Eric has since admitted he was not as familiar with my work as Mark. But the amazing thing about Mark is that he keeps crazy hours. He would wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and run at 3:30 every single morning. I don't think he does that anymore. He's now a cancer survivor, and his schedule, because he is no longer here at the network and at WFAN, our New York affiliate, it's changed a little bit. But he still does wake up at insanely crazy hours. I would rather work all night than wake up when he does, or when our morning show crew does. Anyway, because of the fact that he would work early and wake up early to run, he would hear me hosting in the early morning hours and overnights on my other network, my previous network. That's how he became a fan. At least that's what he tells me. That he used to listen to me all the time, and that I was one of his first choices when he and Eric decided that they would launch the network and when they were given the ability to hire, which I now know is one of the most incredible compliments I ever could have received. I never did tell him that I wasn't familiar with him or his legacy in the business. I just pretend like I knew all about it. because I'm a total idiot. Anyway, so Mark Chernoff called me. I came down here. I had not just an interview, but an audition. And at the time, I met Eric Spitz, who is now with SiriusXM Radio, and he's in charge of all of their sports channels. The two of them offered me the job. They made it a full-time position. I guess there wasn't one. They created one for me, which I will forever be grateful about. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. They didn't ever want me to be anyone but Amy. They never asked me to be more like the guys. They never asked me to do a show that was more like this or like that. They never questioned my credibility. They never questioned my personality or whether or not I was worthy of carrying a show solo. In fact, they even told me, we believe. So I auditioned with a couple of other potential hosts in late 2012. And they initially said to me, we think you're better solo. And of course, there's always this part of you that thinks, wait, what does that mean? But they recognized that with my personality, I tend to facilitate, meaning I'm the one who gets everyone involved. And so when I'm working with other people, I generally tend to subvert my opinions because I want the other people or other person to make sure that he or she has all the say that they need, right? So I generally tend to kind of take a back seat when I'm with other people because I want them to make sure they've got the time to express themselves. So they recognize right away that I not only would be a good solo host, but that they didn't have any concerns about me being able to entertain and to inform and to carry and propel a show. Now, I would have told you that I believed that about myself, but I had never had the opportunity to do it on a consistent basis 5 nights a week at the network level. I'd done it at the local level in multiple markets, but not on a national stage. And so I was buoyed and encouraged and supported. And the fact that these two men who were giants in the business believed in me meant everything. And so I miss them dearly. They're no longer here. Eric left to take the job with Satellite Radio. We are still in touch. We speak multiple times a year. And in fact, he sent me a text on Tuesday morning. Well, I woke up to it on Tuesday afternoon, but this is what it said. I almost teared up considering what an emotional 24 hours it has been. Congrats on 10 years. You are a big part of the network's success. Only Eric and Mark would say that to me, right? Nobody else here would say that to me. And that's okay because I'm not looking for validation, but to know that they hired me and they still believe in me 10 years later, even though they're not here, there really are no words to express what a difference that has made to me in my life and in my career. Eric moved on. Mark also moved on, not by choice. So he was not retiring. He was essentially a victim of a lot of changes at our company and a lot of changes in our industry. They're both still very supportive and very proud of me. And I think they consider me a personal success story, meaning they take it personally that the show has continued on now and it's been 10 years of After Hours. So for Eric to remember that and to send me that text today, especially when he has been through so much with me and has seen kind of the ups and downs and understands how hard the last several years have been. And I'm not referring to the pandemic. I'm really just referring to a lot of changes in our industry as well as in our company personally. It's not the same anymore. And I don't know that it will ever be the same. I don't know that I will sign another contract with the company. That's very much up in the air. It remains to be seen. I anticipate that there will probably be some changes in the next several years. But to have spent 10 years here and to be now 8+ years in the same time slot is nearly unheard of. For those of you who are familiar with sports radio or TV, you know there's a lot of turnover and there's a lot of change. And that was me for the first 12 years of my sports radio career. I never stayed in one place or in one time slot longer than a year and a half. And so to have signed another contract, a long-term contract, and to still be here in this time slot, again, I don't need recognition. I just need a paycheck that I can pay my mortgage. I am content and satisfied doing what we do here on the show without anybody taking notice. If I cared about being famous, I wouldn't be in radio. So those things don't matter to me. There are some challenges, you know, to be honest and to, you know, to be open about it. It's not easy. It's never been easy. But I am so, so grateful for the two men who took a chance on me and who never asked me to be anything but who I am and who supported me and still support me, even though they are not here. After horror stories, like boss horror stories, just take my word for it or use your imagination as a female in what is a male-dominated industry. I have the kind of stories that get people fired. I don't want to. I don't really care. Most of them have been fired anyway. What goes around comes around. But these two men, they just wanted me to be Amy, and it meant the world to me. It's the best career move I ever made, and I hope that they know how much, I mean, I've tried to tell them, but I hope they know how much they mean to me and their support has meant to me. And the number of producers that I've had here on the show who've invested in me and in this time slot and in making After Hours a success, but also you. Not that you all love me. Not that you all think this show is amazing. It gets very little recognition anywhere outside of the studio, and that's okay with me too, because what matters to me is the work that we do and the connection that we have with you. And that really changed during the pandemic when I had to decide, do I want to keep doing this? Because I don't know if I care about sports anymore. I honestly had those conversations with myself. And so two things changed. Number one, I realized I love radio far more than I love sports. That may sound sacrilegious, but it became more about people and connections and relationships and hope. During the pandemic, when we did 3.5 months of, well, actually 4 months of shows with no sports, it became very apparent to me that I don't need sports to do a show. I love sports. I'm glad that I have invested so much of my time and my career in the sports arena. At the same time, I don't know that the rest of my career will all be sports radio, right? So there's other adventures on the horizon. And at this point, I'm kind of thinking about them and wondering what the next phase of my career will bring. So that really changed over the last couple of years, recognizing that there are other ways that I can use my radio show to connect with people and hopefully to impact you in a positive way, in a way that brings hope and allows you a bit of a distraction if that's what you need. But so many of you have encouraged me to continue to talk about my personal life or to talk about some of the crazy stuff that I go through in my life. And I think the more that I've done that, the more I realize that that's where we have connections as human beings, right? Talking about love and loss and joy and grief and some of the tough stuff we go through as humans individually, but also as a society. And that's kind of where I am now, 10 years into this network, but 20 years into my sports radio career. I still have big dreams. I still have goals that I'm chasing. I hope that many of you do as well. So even as some of you are asking me about my New Year's resolutions, I don't know about resolutions much, but I do have new goals for 2023. And I'm working on a blog post. It's kind of been derailed the last couple of days just in my concern over DeMar and everything else that's happening in our industry. But it really is about processing 2022 and the disappointment and the closed doors and the loss and the grief and recognizing that as humans, those are all very real parts of our experience. How can I move forward? And also, how can I find the positives? And that's kind of where I've been stuck the last couple of weeks. It's been hard. I've done a lot of praying about it, a lot of talking about it with friends. I feel so stuck. I feel like I can't get back to that place where I've got joy and I've got peace. And so I'm working on it. And writing is part of that, and celebrating milestones like 10 years with the network and 20 years in sports radio. Those are also huge too. So I'll share that blog post with you when I can, and video probably at some point too. But again, my congratulations to the originals, the OGs of CBS Sports Radio. Going back 10 years, that includes DA, who follows us here on the network programming schedule, Sean Marash, Pete Bellotti, who are part of the morning show as well. Mike Samter, who is, I think, producing his fifth or sixth different show here on the network, but is now with Maggie and Perloff. Trying to think, some of the guys behind the scenes, Tom and Tom, who were my original producers, they're now in different roles, but still with the network. Billy and Anthony, who are working in our newsroom, and they both produce as well at times. Trying to think if there's anybody else. So some of our hosts just recently moved on, like Tiki and Tierney, who were part of the original lineup. They're now with our New York affiliate. I'm not sure if we have any other. Well, Jim Rome, Jim, of course, he's never been here in New York. He's always been based in LA, but he's definitely part of our network. I think that's it. I don't think there's. I could be missing one or two people, but I don't think there's anybody else who started from the very beginning with us. So yeah, the roster and the originals, the OGs, the numbers are dwindling. But it doesn't matter. People come and go in this industry all the time. And I'm grateful for the people that I've had the chance to work with. Peter Schwartz, he was there at the beginning. And Marco Belletti, he was in a different role, but he was also here at the beginning too. So I don't want to forget him. Rich Ackerman, who is another one of our anchors who's been tenured a long time. So yeah, we've had a ton of turnover, though that's fairly standard. And we've also had some tough stretches as a network, but here we are. We're still churning out daily content 24/7, and we have affiliates who come and go, listeners who come and go. But I know that we're still strong. Our heartbeat is strong, and I'm thankful for all of your support and your encouragement over the last 10 years. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you're interested in sending a question for Ask Amy Anything, I think we're going to do that coming up in 20 minutes if Jay tells me with a thumbs up that he's got the right questions and that they're appropriate, so we'll do that. Phone number 855-212-4227. Straight ahead, a little bit of QB news. Man, they haven't done this in about 3 weeks because I was out and then Jay was out. And so we're getting back into it as we think about tentatively week 18 and some of the big games. And the big news still, though, is DeMar Hamlin and his health and the NFL coming to a halt to support the second-year safety for the Buffalo Bills. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it. Yes. Touchdown, Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We haven't done a QB news in a while, so let's see what we can squeeze in. I wasn't sure that Aaron Rodgers was making his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show, but he did, and he was very open. There is a heart in there. I'm teasing. Rodgers has got a lot of heart. He's very smart, and he certainly does care about his teammates, even though we don't always get that part of him, or it gets wrapped up in some Zen thinking. But he was watching the DeMar Hamlin injury and following the coverage the same as the rest of us were, hoping for some type of a positive update. And he shared that with Pat. And he was also really complimentary of what he saw in the leadership, specifically the captains and the coaches on Monday in Cincinnati.
One person who deserves a lot of credit in the situation is Coach Taylor. I saw him walk across the field. And just the empathy that I saw in his face and the way he handled that thing. And then, obviously, because Coach McDermott, I mean, like, oh. This is your guy, right? Like, and he was going through it. But just the way that he – it wasn't even a question. No, we're not going to play this game. What are you talking about? Do you need more time? Do you need any time? Do you want to even play? I mean, that felt like that was a conversation right there. So big kudos to Zach for not saying, oh, hey, let's – no, we're going to play this. Yep, you got 5 minutes. Okay, I know it's – there could have been so many insensitive, you know, obviously in the moment and also hindsight for sure, moments that could have been had right there. But I thought he handled that thing the exact right way.
Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott and the compassion that was exchanged between the two of them, the care, the concern, not just for DeMar, but for the mental health of the athletes that were there on the field. And now the debate has continued about whether or not the NFL did in fact give the two sides a 5-minute warning. Troy Vincent says that's ridiculous. There's no way that they ever expected those athletes to get back on the field in 5 minutes. And I would say this point was made by Kadri Ismail when he joined us last hour. I think it's a brilliant point. This is the league that played through a pandemic and did not miss a single game and made it very clear to the teams, we're not missing a game. But in this particular case, is responding and reacting to what it's hearing from its players, from the NFLPA, from the leadership. We need to pause. Damar Hamlin and what his teammates have gone through, what the rest of the league is feeling and experiencing, we need to pause. And to that end, we don't have an update on when or if Bills and Bengals will be made up. And yet, in light of this moment, you're hearing people question, why play football at all? What is the point? Why do guys go out there when it can be this dangerous and this scary?
We know that we are the modern day gladiators, right? We are providing entertainment for the masses and doing something we love, but we're also putting our bodies and our future health on the line. And I think that's one thread that connects all of us, that we have a respect for what it takes to go out on the field and play, and the attention to this being a 365-day-a-year job, and the stresses of physical health and mental health and emotional health that it puts on us, and that we put our bodies on the line because we love doing it, because we love competing, and we enjoy providing entertainment for people. But at the end of the day, you don't think these type of things are going to happen. And when it does happen, everything is thrown out.
Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee on Tuesday. And the reason we share that cut is because it's the same word that Boomer Esiason used on his morning show in New York on Tuesday. I heard it multiple times from Boomer. We're gladiators. We're in this arena. This is our version of war. And we do put our health and our well-being on the line. Now, I get it. We're not talking about the war in Afghanistan. And most of the time, we're not talking about life or death. But the reason they do it is, A, because they love it, but also because this is the commitment that they've made to the guy on their left and the guy on their right. And there's solace and there's brotherhood and there's community in it. And so I appreciate that we're hearing from so many guys that they care not just about their own teammates in their own locker room, but they care about the others who step into that same arena. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, the Packers have put themselves in a win, and you're into the playoffs situation after a 4-8 start to the season when they were essentially buried. Here they are, week 18. If they beat Detroit on Sunday Night Football, they will, in fact, extend their postseason streak.
8-8 in control on our own destiny. Like, nobody would have thought that 5 weeks ago.
True.
It was just, you know, nobody would have thought that. Now, I had a glimmer of hope, and I've mentioned it, you know, thinking we could run the table and win the last five for sure. But there wasn't many people that gave us any shot. And even still, you know, there was a lot of things that had to happen. Washington had to lose a bunch of games, and Seattle had to lose a couple, and Detroit had to lose another one, and everything just kind of fell into place. Now we're sitting here going, shoot, we're hosting a playoff game. Obviously, we're a big draw. You saw the numbers on Christmas. So they put us in the primetime slot, even though there's some other games out there that can be to both teams can maybe have win in their end. Now if Seattle ends up losing at the 325 slot, then obviously that game will be a play-in game for both of us. If they don't, then they'll just try and play spoiler. But yeah, we'll be ready to play. I love the character of our team. We've really come together.
From 4-8 to a game that puts them into the postseason, and obviously in this situation, whether you're a betting sports fan or not, you have to like the position the Packers are in because they've been in these types of games over and over the last few years. Remember, this is the first season in the last four in which they've not won at least 13 games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, as you hear Aaron say on Pat McAfee, that is the Sunday night game. If Seattle loses earlier in the day to the Rams, it becomes a play-in game for either Detroit or Green Bay. So if Seattle loses, Detroit then can beat the Packers in Lambeau on Sunday night and get into the playoffs. So that is crazy. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers finally punched their ticket to the postseason as the NFC South champs. And on his Let's Go podcast earlier in the week, he could barely speak. His voice is taking a beating, but he was talking about the clincher against the Panthers.
Felt great. Really proud of our guys and everyone on the team, coaches. We battled through a lot of tough things this year and happy to win the division. It's always tough to do it. There's NFL games are tough to win, and you know we always figure out a way to keep them somehow exciting. Wish they wouldn't be as exciting as we made them, but happy we got the win and happy so many guys contributed. Defense came up big for us. Mike came up big. Chris did. So no, nice to qualify. Still got one tough game to go. We'll try to finish strong, and we know that we got a few extra, at least one extra bonus game, and we'll try to prepare as hard as we can this week and see how things go.
We got to see flashes of that Brady-Mike Evans connection with the three touchdowns and the 200-plus yards for Mike Evans. Another banner performance for him. And I know it's not always been an incredible connection, a productive connection this season. But, yeah, it was important in that moment when they rallied past Carolina.
Mike played awesome, like he always does. You know, I love playing out there with him, and he's an amazing player. I've missed him too many times this year, so it was nice to connect with him and hopefully we can keep that going. I think we will.
That's Tom Brady on Let's Go on Sirius XM NFL Radio. To be fair, Mike dropped his share of passes from Tom Brady this year too. But yes, the Bucs are in and will host a playoff game come wild card weekend. All right, a couple of more to our QB news here before we move on. A lot of questions about Tua Tagovailoa, the Miami Dolphins, and him being in concussion protocol. Head coach Mike McDaniel looking ahead to a game that matters for the Dolphins. They still have a chance for the playoffs, but who will be his quarterback on Sunday?
Right now I'm preparing for both Skylar and Teddy. I think it's too soon to know anything about Teddy. With Tua, like I've said, I haven't even thought about playing status. It is about him getting healthy each and every day. And so I can't really even factor him into any sort of equation until we're ready to broach that. It's just really a situation of, at this point in the week, Monday and Tuesday in game prep, I'll be preparing for both Skylar and Teddy.
Skylar Thompson is the rookie, the 7th round pick, who finished the game on Sunday. Teddy Bridgewater was the starter, but he had to leave because he had an injury to his pinky finger on his right hand. So that was against the Patriots in week 17. There's really been no talk of Tua. He remains in concussion protocol. This was his second documented concussion, maybe his third that was undocumented. And man, what a tough situation for Mike McDaniel to navigate in his first year, but it's been a roller coaster ride. They win their first three games, they lose their next three games. They win five in a row when Tua returns from his initial concussion protocol. Now they've lost five in a row. They've fallen behind the Patriots in the AFC East standings, so they don't control their own playoff path, though they are still alive. And they've got a game this week, right? And yet they don't actually know which team or which quarterback they will have out there on the field, even as they think about game prep, which is, again, something that he's had to navigate. The Dolphins take on the Jets this weekend. They were officially eliminated. The questions persist for Robert Saleh, the second-year head coach, about Zach Wilson, their number two overall pick in 21.
I do have conviction. I do believe in people, especially if people work, and especially when it's as important to people as football. and they work as hard as a guy like Zach does. There's so many more examples in the league where if you love ball and you're really willing to work at it relentlessly, then odds are you're going to make it.
Very nondescript and vague answer about Zach Wilson in the future, but the reports are that the Jets are ready to part ways with him. And the body language, I think he's grown up a lot. It's been a humbling experience for him this year, but the body language on the sidelines, it's very separate. He's very separated from his teammates, probably embarrassed, probably frustrated, and really as a young man doesn't yet know exactly what to do with that. I don't blame him. It's not entirely his fault, but he has had opportunities and he's not capitalized on them. And Mike White, I don't know that that's the answer either, but the Jets now have time to figure it out. We've got a lot of business, off-season business that is already underway, and that includes the potential vetting and offering and maybe hiring of a former NFL head coach who has been in college for quite a lengthy sabbatical but appears to be the hottest candidate out there. We'll explain that coming up before the end of this show, but straight ahead, your opportunity to ask Amy anything for the first time in 2023. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, we're glad to connect with you. We know that Jay is looking through your questions, and that is straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
All right, this is going to be weird. First of all, I don't have my chapstick. This is me. I was in a rush to get out of the house, and the dog took forever. Oh, my gosh. She stands at the top of the stairs and looks at me while I'm calling her. And I know she can see my mouth moving, even if she can't hear me. And she just looks at me and refuses to come down the stairs because she's too tired and doesn't want to go out. Anyway, I was dealing with that nonsense, and I had left two tubes of chapstick on my bathroom counter. What, I couldn't have grabbed either one when I was getting dressed? And so now I have none, and now it's really hard to answer questions. Just take my word for it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are doing our first, maybe truncated edition, but still, Ask Amy Anything in 2023.
Even without the chapstick, we're going to get through it.
I don't know if we are.
We'll start it off. Sherry wants to know, when do you take down your Christmas decorations?
Not yet. No, they're definitely not yet. I have some friends who are maniacal about it. My one friend, she insists that on December 26th, everything's packed up and put away. I don't have time. Are you kidding me? Anyway, my tree still looks good. It doesn't smell as furry as it did at the beginning. And I will likely take the ornaments down and some of the other like random Christmas decorations down this weekend around football. But the tree's going to stay up for a couple more weeks just because I was gone for 2 weeks and I love the tree and I love Christmas lights. So I not only will have the lights on the tree, I have the lights around my bay window in my living room. And then I also have lights that are hanging up around a window frame in my bedroom. And so those will stay up for a bit. But by the end of January, everything will be put away and the tree will be outside and I will miss it.
Here's a 2023 look ahead question. Tom wants to know, are you excited to start or continue any new shows in 2023, TV shows?
Well, I'm trying to put off the last three episodes of Jack Ryan as long as possible. Season three of Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime it's crushing it. I love John Krasinski in this role. So I was binging it when I got back after Christmas, and now there's only three episodes left. It's not a real long season. It's only eight eps, so that's kind of a bummer. I do intend at some point to start The Mandalorian. I've never watched The Mandalorian on Star Wars, with Star Wars series, but also watching Tales of the Jedi, which is a short series too, but animated. Fire Country, which is a new series this year, but apparently very popular with CBS and Paramount Plus. And I haven't yet caught up on Yellowstone. So no one yell at me. Don't give me any spoilers. I'm actually still in the middle of season four of Yellowstone. I haven't yet finished that one. And then I will start the current season. So yeah, I got a lot of different series I want to watch. And I'm actually I'm cleaning out my DVR. Instead of being 100% full, it's only 80% full right now.
Hey, it's a start. Yeah. There.
It's an investment.
David asks, what would be your personal theme song? So if you could pick like a song to play as you're just walking down the street.
Just stop right there. Terry Clark, Emotional Girl. That's the song. I mean, there are other songs that fit my life. For instance, Billy Joel, You May Be Right, I May Be Crazy, It Just May Be a Lunatic You're Looking For. That one also fits me. But Terry Clark, it's a country song. She's a country singer, Emotional Girl. Going back to, the 90s, I guess one of my first jobs in radio, I was dating a country music programmer, kicked him to the curb, but kept the love for country music. That song is me. It's me. Just go listen to it. YouTube it.
Here's a food question, of course. Carol wants to know, do you like toast? And if so, what do you put on your toast?
Do people not like toast?
I didn't know that was a thing. I thought everyone liked toast.
I don't eat a lot of bread just because when I decided to be a little healthier, it was bread, one of the elements that came out of my diet. But I love bread. Generally, I'll eat whole wheat because it's not the white starch. But I love sourdough. Bread, sourdough toast. I have some fresh sourdough bread in honor of the new year. Makes sense to me. In my bread basket right now. And I also really love ciabatta. I could eat ciabatta rolls every day.
Underrated bread.
Again, not fair for me to do to myself. But I love toast with, and I mean lathered with butter. Real butter, not the fake crap that sticks to your insides. But real butter and then some real preserves. So cherry preserves is one of my favorite. I love blueberry. I love blackberry. Also peanut butter. Yeah. Wow. Now that's what I'm going to have to eat for breakfast when I get home this
smooth
morning.
Smooth or crunchy? Follow up.
Either one, but generally creamy. It's not called smooth, you goofball. It's called creamy peanut butter. You call it smooth peanut butter?
Yeah, I do. No one ever calls it smooth? That's just me?
I've never heard anyone but you call it that because on the jar it says creamy peanut butter.
Interesting. We'll keep it food here for a sec.
Definitely interesting.
Jonathan asks, do you like wings? And if so, in what sauce and flat your drums?
Well, I'm a buffalo wing girl, so I prefer the traditional buffalo wing sauce with the blue cheese, yes. Wait, flats are the ones that are the, I don't know what that means.
Not the one that like, you could hold and have, like, you know.
Oh, the drum is like the drumstick.
Right.
I prefer the drums, but I also will go boneless. I know that's not true wings, but I don't mind fake chicken wings that are boneless so I can eat the whole thing. But yes, I do prefer the drums.
Boneless are good. Underrated. Paul wants to know, what were some highlights of your vacation time during the holidays?
Well, the time with my nieces, to be sure. Watching my younger niece graduate from college was such a privilege. She was so happy when my brother and I, my sister-in-law, my older niece, a few other family members, we made so much noise when her name was called and when she walked across the stage that this gigantic smile broke out across her face. And she was so good about stopping and taking pictures and waving at us. We were at the auditorium there in Blacksburg, Virginia, at Virginia Tech. So really proud of her, and that was a lot of fun. We played a lot of cards. For those of you who play cards in your family, we ended up playing, 5 or 6 nights of 5 Crowns. If you don't know that card game, it's a lot of fun. Lots of trash talking and lots of desserts. They ate almost all the desserts that I took. I also made a fresh apple crisp when I was there on Christmas night. I was still getting over a cold, which is a pain in the rear end. But it was really good to really have no place to go. My mom and I, with one of my nieces, went out to one store a couple days before Christmas. But otherwise, we watched Top Gun Maverick, which was fun. And we watched a couple of other movies and just kind of hung out. Really didn't have a whole lot of other plans outside of just being together, which was great.
Last one here before.
Well, hold on, though. The driving 2,000 miles was not a highlight. 2,000 miles in 2 weeks. And no, I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. 2,000 miles in 2 weeks.
Last one here before rapid fire. Tony asks, is it fun to teach Sunday school?
I like it because the kids always keep you on your toes. And I will say something else, too. It helps me be a better radio host to teach right now what I teach our 4th and 5th graders. So 9 and 10-year-olds, sometimes an 11-year-old. if you can explain it to a 9, 10, or 11-year-old in plain English in a way that you're sure they can understand, well, then you can do that with sports fans as well. So it challenges me to explain life and different Bible lessons to these kids, because then it also helps me to explain sports or a football play or something I see on the baseball diamond. So, yeah, it's a good tool.
I like that. Rapid fire here to close us out. Ice cream, cone or cup?
Never a cone. I'm not a cone person. No, why waste calories on a cone? I'd rather eat more ice cream in a dish.
Airplane or helicopter?
I've never been on a helicopter, but it's on my bucket list.
Tractor or hovercraft?
I'm not getting on a hovercraft. Give me a good old-fashioned John Deere any day.
Window seat or aisle seat?
Window. I don't want people walking down the aisle touching me.
Chandler or Ross?
Ross. What? He's a total nerd. Also, Chandler apparently was an addict, so.
Yeah, I heard that. Last one here. The book or the movie adaptation?
No, always the book. Always the book. I am a bookworm, a book nerd. I've been that way since I was a kid. And while there are some movies that are close to their books, I prefer the book and the extensive version every time. All right, that was fairly painless. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.